here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I am Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello, today is Friday, February 16th, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world. So the markets took a big deep breath throughout the week and attempted to bounce back from the periods of extended volatility that we discussed on last week's show.
And later on in this episode, we will be taking a look at one of the market's most successful investors ever, Warren Buffett, and discussing the latest quarterly filing from his massive Berkshire Hathaway conglomerate.
But before we get to that, we have a few other stories that caught our attention this week, including one macroeconomic concern that could spell further volatility in the stock market soon.
Yeah, so investors on Wednesday really jumped into gold and other precious metals, along with several commodity-related ETFs, as markets and investors around the world continued to worry that the Fed will raise interest rates higher than initially anticipated. This new interest rate concern coming on the back of renewed inflation concerns related to the Labor Department's January Consumer Price Index. This is the famous CPI you'll hear people talking about often. It measures what American consumers pay for everything from food to medical care. For January, it came in at a seasonally adjusted rate of 0.5%, and that was a little bit higher than the consensus among economists, which called for a 0.4% gain. Looking at the overall prices and ignoring the seasonally adjusted, came in at 2.1% year over year, which also came in above analyst expectations. And then thinking back to some of the stuff we talked about last week during the sell-off, one of the main concerns related to inflation was the rise in wages that we got from the January jobs report. So if you couple this CPI results with this recent rise in wages, we're starting to see a little concern that the Fed will raise interest rates faster than expected in order to curb possible inflation. A new concern, really, to have within the past few months, it feels like, because we've been in kind of this stagnant inflation environment, even so much that when Janet Yellen was on her way out, some of the last discussions in the Fed meetings were, what is going on with these low inflation rates and when can we expect inflation to pick up soon? Now almost concerned in the opposite direction. But this week's concerns, instead of resulting in a stock sell-off like we saw last week, seemed to inspire a jump into the precious metals industry. These are often considered safer investments during currency fluctuations. Looking just at Wednesday, we had gold prices up about 1.5% through midday trading, and silver and copper rising 1.34% and 1.91% respectively. Platinum was the biggest gainer in the morning on Wednesday on the back of this CPI, rising about 2.1% in morning hours. So yeah, getting into the juicy macroeconomic details affecting the market, plenty to think about with all of the things we covered last week related to the stock sell-off. Keep your eye on volatility in the stock market and renewed interest in the precious metals investing space as we go forward. Moving this episode along, though, we're going to go to a major appointment at the top of one of our favorite companies on this show. Maddie, fill us in.
Yes, Chipotle, the troubled burrito maker, but we love Chipotle because we love burritos.
Mm-hmm.
They got a new CEO.
Yes. Someone who has some experience with burritos.
Too. Yes. And shares of Chipotle, CMG is a stock. They skyrocketed over 15% on Wednesday after announcing that former Yum! Exclamation point brand executive Brian Nickel will replace founder Steve Ells as the company's chief executive. So Nickel, who most recently served as the CEO of Taco Bell, also a great company. Love the Chalupa is my favorite Taco Bell menu item. And then the Crunchwrap Supreme comes in at a close second.
Well, maybe you'll be able to see a locally sourced organic chalupa
soon.
Oh
my gosh. I can only dream. A girl can only dream. So Nickel, CEO of Taco Bell previously, will now take over as chief executive officer on March 5th. So coming up in just a few weeks. But as the head of Taco Bell, Nickel helped oversee numerous product launches, including some of its new breakfast initiatives. Have you tried Taco Bell's breakfast?
I have, yes. Big fan.
Okay, yeah. That's good, because I haven't. Yeah. I was a little hesitant.
Understandably.
But I am a fan of fast food breakfast in general. I think it's one of my guiltiest pleasures on this earth, if I can say that.
Go ahead. Yes, I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
McDonald's breakfast, for one, is like one of the best things in the world. The McGriddle should be crowned. I think it should be part of like a royal family, if we have one, you know, here in America. It should be like, you know, like the official mascot.
Okay.
The McGriddle.
I'll allow that too.
It's like the best invention in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to disagree with you there at all.
Now I want a McGriddle.
Yeah.
And I can get one because
I would recommend the Taco Bell breakfast though too.
What's your favorite Taco?
It's pretty good. They have like, item. The like Crunchwrap Supreme thing where it's like an octagon or whatever, hexagon,
yeah.
It's a hexagon shaped tortilla, and then instead of like the crunchy part of the Crunchwrap Supreme in the middle being like a crispy tortilla, this has a hash brown in the middle of it. So it's like Crunchwrap Supreme hash brown egg deliciousness. And
that sounds good. I'm kind of into it.
Yeah, I'm also one of those guys who puts hot sauce on his eggs regularly, so the idea of like pairing up Taco Bell hot sauces and flavors with breakfast like egg stuff was a no-brainer for me personally.
So the company credited Nickel with helping transform the fast food taco chain into a social media leader, and along with leading Taco Bell's big push into mobile ordering and payments. So Els, in a statement, said that, quote, his expertise in digital technologies, restaurant operations, and branding make him a perfect fit for Chipotle as we seek to enhance our customer experience, drive sales growth, and make our brand more relevant, end quote. Also, do you remember when Taco Bell had like a fashion line last year?
Yeah.
Maybe Chipotle will too.
Yeah.
It's so many possibilities.
Yeah. I think overall we're kind of looking at, is Chipotle going to get goofier? Because that Taco Bell is just goofy, and I love it. And they pull it off so well.
They do pull it off so well. They kind of laugh, you know, they can laugh at themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And their food is decently, it's like good enough where it makes up for the goofiness.
Yeah, and it looks like that we're seeing from these reports that Nickel was really at the forefront of a lot of these like silly product launches. Thinking in recent years they had like the Doritos Locos Taco, which was amazing, the breakfast stuff. They're always trying new stuff at Taco Bell.
Nickel also helped worldwide system sales climb by 7% at Taco Bell in just last year. But Taco Bell's constant menu changes and crazy food pairings aren't likely to work at Chipotle. So it is an interesting choice considering the fact that Chipotle currently runs nearly the exact opposite type of restaurant chain.
Yeah.
So he'll definitely, I think that he's, if he can take some, well, here's the thing. I think Chipotle needs a menu change.
Yeah.
Or a menu change to a certain extent.
Yeah, exactly.
And a menu that keeps changing constantly likely won't work at Chipotle.
Yeah, exactly.
But some innovation there has been long needed for years.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly queso wasn't the answer.
Yeah, you're spot on right there. I think the analysis that, you know, the crazy menu changes aren't going to work is just if they want to keep the locally sourced, organic, GMO-free, you know, no antibiotics, that type of stuff, you can't do every other week go, oh, we're combining these two crazy things and it's a new product. Like, it just doesn't, the scaling doesn't work. You don't have that leverage with the way that they source their food at all. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right that he can come in and do something to the menu.
Right.
But it's got to be a different process than it was at Taco Bell, which seems to operate under a, sure, yeah, we'll try anything once.
Right?
Yeah.
So before yesterday's gains or Wednesday's gains, shares of Chipotle had plummeted 40% over the last year and 23% in the last 4 weeks alone. Hashtag yikes. The company needed to take a risk with its new CEO to spark a big change and inspire investor and company-wide confidence. And it looks like investors are somewhat inspired already.
Yeah.
So I think this is an interesting path that Chipotle is going down, and I'm excited for some. I feel like they need like a Doritos Locos menu item ish, and then like those Cheeto fry things at Burger King.
Yes,
you know
they need. I think one of two things, possibly two of these things. They need to do breakfast on a wide scale. Right now, they're doing it in like airport Chipotles. A scaled back breakfast menu. Which I think accounts for like maybe two total places, but they need to try that out at the worst. And that seems reasonable, doable in some level. It's the same conversation that you have with a Taco Bell is, if I'm going to get fast food breakfast in the morning, and you know, we all know in America, all our fast food places are just like in a row on the same block. It's just, you have all your options right in front of you. If there's a McDonald's, a Burger King, and a Taco Bell all lined up, it's a competitive disadvantage for you as a whole restaurant to just be closed when your two main competitors are open 3-4 hours earlier than you. Mm-hmm. If you can make the business work, if you can scale it out, if you can make it profitable, you know, it's nice to be open and give people the option of coming into your store. So maybe breakfast at Chipotle. I think if they could put it together decently with what they do, you could do a breakfast bowl, you could do a breakfast burrito or a breakfast taco.
Yeah.
And I think
it's literally just adding eggs to
exactly.
What is already there.
Yep, yep. And then is something new that sticks out.
Or even just a quesadilla option.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that like now just like a secret menu?
Yeah, item? You can do the.
You can like ask.
Yeah, you can do the quesarito is the secret menu item.
And then
there's a secret
be hated
menu at Chipotle, by the way,
the,
in case you guys didn't know.
Be hated by like the people that actually have to make that. But mm-hmm. I'm like, just I just want a quesadilla.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, something like that,
right?
Something like that that's theirs that sticks out too, because like. Qdoba, now Qdoba doesn't have this because Chipotle has the queso, but Qdoba used to have, we have queso, and that was like their thing. Was if you wanted to do the Tex-Mex bowl, Qdoba has the queso. And Chipotle's thing is like the organic, locally sourced thing, which is kind of bit in the rear end over the past couple of years because it's what people are blaming on people, their customers getting sick. So they need a new thing that's theirs that's delicious and doesn't get people sick, and maybe that's easier said than done when you list it all out like that. But okay, moving on here, we teased Berkshire Hathaway's latest moves at the beginning of the episode. That is what we'll be talking about now. Warren Buffett's company filed its 13F for the fourth quarter on Wednesday, providing the would-be Buffetts of the world with an update on the conglomerate's latest adjustments. So, anytime this 13F comes out, which like, details what the portfolio has done over the quarter, people go crazy. They go, should I copy Warren Buffett? Makes sense. He's had a lot of success over the years. So following in his footsteps in the past, certainly a good strategy. Just as a kind of how the portfolio works, Berkshire Hathaway's U.S. long stock portfolio is what we're talking about here. It holds positions in 45 individual stocks, with the five largest of those positions accounting for roughly 62% of its total value. So definitely weighted heavily to the bigger positions. During the fourth quarter, the portfolio's value increased about 8%, reaching a whopping $1.91 billion on the back of one major new addition and several position increases. So the one brand new position was Teva Pharmaceuticals. To be transparent here, pretty small in comparison to the rest of the portfolio. It accounts for just 0.9% of the portfolio's total value right now. But the revelation that Berkshire had bought in on this struggling stock led many on Wall Street to question whether Buffett could see something that others were missing. This generics drug giant, one of the bigger manufacturers of generic prescription medication in the world, has faced significant headwinds lately, due in large part to lower U.S. generic drug prices and increased competition. This led management in early 2016 to really take out a ton of loans and pile on its debt to protect from its shrinking profit margins. 2016, a rough year for the stock, lost about half its value. 2017, a rough year for the stock, lost about half its value. We were the most recent news I can remember from Taibo was in August of 2017 when we were talking about the company trying to ramp up its asset sales. The figure that I had seen most recently was trying to generate about $2 billion in cash through sales of various types of assets, whether it be shedding certain businesses or selling off certain drugs. And yeah, I guess, you know, we know Warren Buffett is a value investor, and clearly he has determined that Teva has fallen in to a value category with its now kind of 2-year sell-off. But not the only interesting piece of news to emerge from Berkshire's 13F.
Yeah, the company also increased its stake in Apple by about 23% during the quarter, so clearly not concerned about iPhone sales.
No.
The technology behemoth is now the portfolio's largest holding at 14.63% of its total value. Berkshire first purchased Apple in January 2016. And when asked to explain the move at the time, Buffett responded by simply saying, "Because I liked it."
Absolutely amazing. Love that response.
I mean, that's what I think we should all say if we buy anything outrageous or not outrageous. Yeah. It's just because we like it.
What else do you need to know?
Yeah, exactly. It's none of your business. I liked it. Yeah. Shares of Apple are trading at just 15 times forward earnings. And this comes in slightly below the market-wide average. So the fact that it presents such a rare value opportunity in the tech sector probably explains Buffett's position.
Yeah, I was reading something about that specific decision back in 2016, outside of the amazing "because I liked it" comment, which I think is enough for me. Buffett had said in an interview with CNBC, he had said something about one of the fellows at Berkshire Hathaway being the first person to make a decision to buy Apple. And there's only like two fellows that would have had that decision-making power. So without saying it, he like revealed to one of the two people that could have possibly made the decision did it. And so we have these two names of these portfolio managers at Berkshire who are responsible for this huge stake in Apple that has become its largest position. And Buffett won't tell us any more about it.
Maybe he just really likes Siri.
I wonder if he has an iPhone. I can't imagine.
Is he a Galaxy guy?
He's like 87.
Well,
I think
he has a phone. He has something.
He drives a really like beater old car. He used to for a really long time, and like lives in a really modest home and whatnot. Lives just like a modest lifestyle for a billionaire.
Probably has an iPhone 5.
like an iPhone 5S. Like one that has like a noticeably outdated camera, so when he's taking selfies, it just kind of doesn't look that great.
Oh yeah, wait, you don't follow him on Instagram?
No.
I'm just kidding. I don't know if he has an Instagram.
Yeah,
he's great at selfies, knows his angles, good at picking out filters.
That's at Oracle of Omaha on Snapchat. It's been interesting because I remember in January 2016 when we first found out that the company had taken, that Berkshire Hathaway had taken a stake in Apple. We were like, oh my goodness, this value investor is getting into Apple. Like the world's gone mad. What's going on? And now like Apple seems like a pretty legitimate option for value investors. And slowly since 2016, they've upped their stake and now it's the biggest position they have. It's been interesting to watch. And yeah. Buffett likes it. Maybe we should too. General rule of thumb there. That does it for us this week, everyone. If, as a reminder, you can always shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. Feel free to check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. Remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. And thanks again for joining us. We will see you next time on the Zacks Friday Finish Line.